You're listening to Feathers, a podcast of stories about God speaking and his people having just enough faith to believe him and obey. I hope these stories inspire you and encourage you to take flight in your own faith. I'm your host, Amy Bennett, and this is Season 3, Episode 16. Well, hey, friend, and welcome to Feathers this week. I'm so glad you're here. I have a few things I need to share before we jump into this week's episode. The first is that this episode is 16 of season 3. So that means it's time for our season to end. I cannot believe we are through with season 3. So there's no real magic to that number. That's just the number of episodes that the first two seasons have been. So we're sticking to it. But we're just going to take a quick 1 week break. And I've already got episodes lined up for season 4. So come back on May 3rd so we can start season 4 of Feathers. All right, the next thing is that the Feathers podcast app is in the Google Play App Store. So if you have an Android device, you can now download that. So previously it was just in the iTunes Store, but now it is in the Google Play App Store. So that's just a super quick way to access the podcast. I also wanted to give a special thank you to Tammy and Jade for sharing last week's episode with Annie Downs. Also, some really great comments on the post from last week from Nikki and Melanie, Tammy and Hannah. That was such a fun episode and really glad you guys enjoyed that too. All right, so let's get on to this week's episode. This week we have Shalene Bryan. Shalene is a former Hollywood filmmaker and now owns the nonprofit SkipOne.org. She's actually sharing the story of how that came to be today, so you're going to hear that. And she's also the author of two books, Love, Skip, Jump, and the latest that we're going to talk about today, Ridiculous Faith. And also, just because I'm a big fan, she's really good friends with Candace Cameron, a.k.a. DJ Tanner, from Full House. She wrote the foreword in her latest book, and so that was really fun to read. Anyway, so it was a blast to talk to her. She's a fantastic storyteller, and I think you're really going to enjoy this episode. So here is my conversation with Shalene. Hi, Shalene, and welcome to Feathers today.
Hi.
I am so happy to have you here.
Me too.
So how about you introduce yourself and your family to the listeners?
Yeah, so I'm Shalene. I live in Southern California. I'm a wife and a mom, been married to my husband. It'll be 26 years in August. Got married at 21. I think what I'm most proud of is I'm still madly in love with him, which is awesome.
It's amazing. Yes. I got married in August too.
Oh, wow.
What's the date?
August 4th.
Oh, so close. That's my sister's birthday, but we got married on August 8th.
Okay, and my sister got married on August 6th. How funny.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, we're taking over the month, Amy, that's for sure.
Yes.
And then we have two children. Our son, Blake, is 19, and he's a freshman in college, and he's our oldest, which it's been a new kind of new move for me. It's like I've had this kid living under my roof forever, and now he's at Pepperdine in Malibu, California. And our daughter, our youngest, is 16, and she's a junior at Oaks Christian High School.
Okay, that's awesome. So I have three kids. My oldest is 13, so we're a couple years away from doing the college thing. So what piece of advice would you give to me when I've got about 5 years left?
Enjoy every second right now. There's not one piece of dirty clothes in my son's room. There's nothing smelly in there. There's nothing. It's so sad.
Oh, I tell myself that all the time. I'm like, you will miss this dirty pudding thing that is.
Them forgetting to flush the toilet. Like, you miss it all. You just miss it. And it's wonderful that he's thriving in college. He just got accepted into the London program. So he leaves in August for London with Pepperdine for a year. And he was given the RA position. And so he's just thriving along. And isn't that what our goal is, right? Is to raise young men, to be young men after God's own heart. And to see God keep his promises to all of that is amazing. It's just such a new season. And then I was at lunch with a girlfriend who's a little bit ahead of me, like I'm ahead of you. And I said, you know, but it's only 4 years. College is 4 years. And I think Blake might go into law like his dad, like my husband. And I'm a lawyer, who knows? And I said, you know, so after the 4 years, and she goes, after the 4 years, what, Shalene? What do you mean? Your kids don't ever move back home the same way. And I go, Tammy, what are you talking about? She goes, what do you think? He's just going to move back into his bedroom and you're going to make him Lunchables every day and take him to carpool? I'm like, yeah, and go to soccer on Saturday. I mean, isn't that what we're going to do? She's like, yeah, no, Shalene. Like, they might come home on breaks or things. She goes, but he most likely is going to go on with his life. She goes, my kids didn't move back in. They met their spouses. They got married. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like he moved out to college and he moved out. Like,
I know. Oh my gosh. I tell myself, you know, you say in the earlier, like my kids are moving out and they cannot live with me. And then they get older and older. I'm like, well, you would be okay if they live with me till they were like 38.
They're just great human beings. Like I would hang out with my kids if they weren't my kids, or just awesome humans. And it's so funny though, because I didn't realize how true that is. Like, I didn't move back in when I was done with school. Like, I didn't, like, you know, I got married to my husband. We got our own little condo and we started our life together. And it's so true. And so I'm in a new season right now in my life. And our daughter is just getting smothered, I think, because she's the only one home. She loves it. And she's very independent, though, too, like our son. And Brooke goes, it's okay, Mom. I know it's because Blake's gone. I go, yeah, honey, can I just drive you? I know you can drive. She's like, sure, Mom. Okay.
Oh, but this is her time to get you by herself, just like your son had a couple years.
That's right. That's right. She sure is getting me, let me tell you.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, I love that you talked about your son. We're actually going to talk about your book that you have out now. It's called Ridiculous Faith, and you actually have a whole chapter dedicated to your son and what he's done. But I want to start at the beginning and give the listeners a little bit of background. So, like I said, your book is talking about ridiculous faith, and you're really sharing just the lessons you learn about living a life of faith. And a lot of that, I guess, was, well, you can fill us in, but born out of really a trip to Africa. And I would love for you to start there with your story.
In my first book, Love, Skip, Jump, actually the first chapter, I share about an adventure I took in 2003. And to back up there, I used to be a Hollywood producer, was in the entertainment industry for many years, interned at the Barbara Cameron Agency, Kirk Cameron and Candace Cameron's mom, when I was 21, and kind of learned the business and things. And I had sponsored a couple children, a little boy for our son, Blake, and a little girl for our daughter, Brooke, like way back in 2000, to teach our kids how blessed they were living in America. And their pictures stuck on our refrigerator like most Americans do. And I was having a party one night, and this friend of mine brought a woman I'd never met. And a few of us were hanging out in my kitchen, and this woman points at my refrigerator and she goes, you fell for that? How do you know those kids aren't 40 years old and they're just taking your money? And I'm like, I don't. I guess I'm just having faith, you know, that the money's getting there. She goes, yeah, I never really fall for that stuff. You know, I felt like saying, what's your name? Can you get out of my house? You know? And so that night I go to bed and I go, Bryce, I want to go to Africa. I want to see where our 25 bucks a month's going. He's like, cool, let's spend $3,000. I go, I'm serious. Like, what if it's fake and we're telling our kids we're sponsoring these children and I could be paying for some guy's Porsche, you know? So he goes, why don't you get the information, Shalene? You don't even own a passport, you know? So I get all the information. We had to get shots. I tell no one we're coming because I'm going to be Diane Sawyer, you know, and bust this thing open if it's fake. And the night before our trip to Africa, my husband gets deathly ill, like super sick. He's never sick, by the way. And I'm thinking, you got to suck it up and make it to Heathrow, Bryce. Like, we got to do this. And he's like, I can't go. And I almost freaked out. I said, it's a sign. We're going to die in the plane and leave our two kids orphaned while I go try to find these kids that are 40. And my husband's like, settle down. He goes, you need to do this. God obviously wants to take a vacation with you, honey. And I'm thinking, you're going to send your only wife to the other side of the world? Like, who's going to carry my luggage, Bryce? You know? He's like, honey, you got to do this. He goes, you're so excited about it. And he was right. The next morning I woke up and I ripped those pictures off that refrigerator and I flew from LAX to Heathrow and from Heathrow to Entebbe. And I showed up in this little village called Gaba in East Africa. After being in coach for 24 hours, I was a little jacked up. I'm like, hi, I'm from America and I came to meet my two children, AR212 and GR479. Like, where are these little kids? And this gracious woman goes, follow me. And she hikes me 2 miles. I'm thinking, why did I drop out of that kickboxing class? We're like hiking through the jungle. And she goes, this is Omega's house. And it was a mud hut the size of my walk-in closet with a bad-looking sheet for the front door. And she goes, go ahead, go in. And as I pull the sheet back to go inside, this little girl darts at me and goes, Mzungu, which means white. Okay, but I didn't know that. And I didn't recognize her because she had grown from her photo. So I said, Omega? She goes, yeah. I go, I'm Shalene. She goes, I know. And as I was hugging her like I would my daughter, Brooke, I'm thinking she's real, $25 a month. And then my eye catches the Christmas card photo of our family embedded in her mud wall. Mm. And I was like, oh my gosh, she's been getting our mail. I'm like, honey, I'll get you anything because I have an American Express card. I'm from America. And she gets this big smile on her face. She goes, I'd like a bed. And I'm like, cool, where's Target Jungle over here, you know? So I got to take her and Alonise into the capital of their country, which is Kampala. And I bought them beds, sheets, a mosquito net for the malaria, a blanket, and a pair of shoes for $20. I'm like, we're all Oprah. The beds were like $3 a bed. I went back and did an HGTV design on a dime to her whole village. You know, I'm passing out beds like they're decks of cards and rolling out linoleum and hanging mosquito nets. And I'm thinking, if my girlfriends back home in Los Angeles, if they knew that I'm skipping a manicure pedicure, seriously, and keeping these kids alive, fed in school, they'd skip it. So when I got back, my husband and I founded skipone.org, and it's the number one, not O-N-E. Skip one, feed a child. So our dream is to get everyone on the planet to skip one thing once in their life for the sake of someone else. You could skip a lunch or a latte or a pack of gum. A little girl just skipped her tooth fairy money on our site. It's adorable. And our promise is we will donate. We will give away 100%. There's no asterisk by that. 100% of all public donations goes to the acquisition and distribution of food and water projects here in America and around the world. And it's been amazing. We're building kitchens, actually, at orphanages and schools so kids can have lunch every day just because one of your listeners decided to skip their lunch. And it's powerful.
Wow. So you work in America and in Africa?
Yes. We're all over the world.
Okay. So you did share, I believe, a couple of the stories in the book, which let me just tell you, your book is jam-packed with stories. You're such a great storyteller.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. So I can tell you have a background in Hollywood.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's such a great story. It was really hard to actually pick out some things that I wanted to talk about. But so that was sort of the story you just told us, sort of the kind of the liftoff place of this life of ridiculous faith.
Yeah.
And you have seen so many things since then. So it, like I said, in the book, you're sharing some of just the lessons that you've learned, and it's really wrapped around some of these stories. And I would love for you to talk about, you know, as we think on this podcast about stepping out in faith in whatever God is calling us to do, you know, whether it's to skip a lunch or, you know, start a skipone.org type thing, you know, whatever it is. One of the first things you talk about is going to the mountain. That's your phrase of going to the mountain. So can you talk about what that means and why it is so important?
Well, it's so important that we have mountaintop moments with God because it's not enough to know about God. We need to know God. And what was amazing was the mountaintop moment I'm referring to is Moses in Exodus, when it had been about 3 months since he had led the people out of Egypt and, you know, witnessed all the miraculous miracles of the plagues that he promised he would do. And then here he's in Numbers 2, it says he's bringing 604,000 people out of Egypt. And a Bible scholar I was talking to said, Shalene, that was just the men. I'm like, oh my gosh. And so here he is, kind of a big church congregation, kind of a father with a lot of children. You know, he's bringing all these people out and he gets to the water and had so much faith, not because he was faithful, but because God is faithful, that water parted and they walked across on dry land. So here it is now, 3 months since that happened, and God calls Moses to spend 40 days and 40 nights on Mount Sinai. I mean, I can't find 40 minutes sometimes for God, you know? I mean, it gets so crazy. And I have to tell you, it's like, it wasn't like Moses didn't have a big responsibility. He was kind of the CEO of over 600,000 people. And yet he knew how important that relationship with his creator was. And he went up that mountain. And it says that in that time, it was as if Moses was spending time with a friend talking to friends like you and I are doing right now. And in that time, that intimate time Moses was spending, I feel like he requested something of God that is one of the most ridiculous requests in the Bible. He said, it's a very small verse in Exodus. It says, God, show me your glory. That's how close he felt to him. And I'm like, oh my gosh. And it's amazing when we spend time with God, what we're willing to ask of him. And it's amazing when we do ask of him, he answers us. And he says, Moses, I'm going to actually show you my goodness. Because if you saw my glory, you'd probably die. You know, it's like he didn't show him his wrath or his justice or his mercy. He goes, I'm going to show you the least threatening attribute of myself. I'm going to show you my goodness. And then Exodus goes on to say in the Bible that he tucked Moses into the cleft of the rock. And he goes, I'm going to pass by you and I'm going to use my hand to shield you. And when I get to the other side, I'll remove my hand and you can get a backside glimpse of my goodness. What's so crazy is I can't even imagine as a filmmaker, a former filmmaker, what Moses saw, because I believe he saw something that our eyes could not even look upon, right? Like God allowed him to see things that were unseen. And when Moses came down off that mountain with the tablets, the Bible says his face was glowing, that it was freaking everyone out. Like Aaron was so freaked out, the people were freaked out, that Moses had to wear a veil over his face. Because when we experience God, it changes us and people see it. That's why those mountaintop moments are so important. And we have to schedule it like I scheduled this interview with you right here. It's got to be in there, mountain moment. I don't care. Like sometimes it's in my bathtub for 40 minutes. You know what I mean? Like I just, the kids know, the door is locked, no cell phones. And I'm going to listen and spend time with my mountain moment with God. Sometimes it's on my morning walk. Sometimes it's just me, my prayer closet. It's in my car sometimes, sitting in carpool, shutting everything off. It doesn't have to be on the top of a mountain. It's like, what's your mountain? And schedule it and make it happen, because experiences with God change us and people can tell.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever read the book, Secrets of the Secret Place?
No.
It's a really good book, but it talks a lot about that. You've got, and what they say in there is just, you've got to shut the door. And mm-hmm. of course that can be,
yeah. Whatever that door is. Yeah.
Yeah. Figurative. But it really is about getting alone time with God. And it seems so, you know, like a back to basics things. Like, of course you have to spend time with Jesus, like, you know, but it really is, you actually have to spend the time, you know, more than a 2-second prayer before you fall asleep. You've got to, I love that you talk about scheduling the time and making him a priority. And because the thing is that that's where he speaks to you.
Yeah.
He speaks through his word and what he wants you to do.
I think sometimes we get busy, you know, worshiping the creation and not the creator. Mm-hmm. You know, I'll make time to meet with people that God's created, but I won't make time to meet with him who created them.
Mm. That is so true. That is so true, because, that's powerful, because for a long time, you know, I would get in, I mean, even recently I could say, you know, I would get in a down in the dumps or something. I'm like, oh, I just need to go out with my friends. I need to go out and have a coffee date.
Yes.
And what I learned was, and I would really highly depend on my friends, and there's absolutely validity in that. I mean, I love my friends. I feel like we're built for community. But what I was skipping was these moments with God. Like, he can be my friend, just like Moses went on the mountain and they talk like friends.
Yes.
And I can pour my heart out to him and he can pour, you know, his goodness and whatever else back out to me.
And he wants to. And that's what's so amazing. And that's why I wrote Ridiculous Faith. I mean, I just coat it with God's word and his promises. And these are promises that aren't just from a girlfriend that could maybe let us down. These are promises that we can take to the bank. These are promises from the King of the universe that says, I will never leave you or forsake you. Like, I know the plans I have for your life, to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you a hope and a future. And I feel like we read these Bible stories about ark building, sea parting, lion taming adventures, right? And we're like thinking, yeah, but that was 2,000 years ago. Is God really doing ridiculous things like that today? Mm-hmm. And this book is filled with 21st century real life adventures that people have, myself and others, have had happen that will leave you in awe and wonder of who God is and the adventures he has for you. I mean, to be honest, right as we're talking, God is putting things in place for you, for your listeners, that they don't even know, maybe haven't met yet, haven't experienced, haven't received, in place that would blow your mind when it comes full circle. And I'm gonna end you with this amazing story in my book that happened to some dear friends of ours, Bruce and Jamie Watson.
Oh, I'm so glad, because I was going to ask you to share that story.
Oh my gosh, this story just, I mean, Whenever I am like feeling like I'm on sinking sand or in a dump, like you were talking about, I'm like, okay, Charlene, that's a choice. Get back on your firm foundation. You're the daughter of the king. And I think of their story. And here's this young couple. I mean, if you cut Bruce, just to, he's a basketball fanatic. He loves the LA Lakers. He bleeds purple and gold, okay? And he gets a full ride basketball scholarship to Masters College, falls in love with Jamie. They get married. They attend Cornerstone Church where Bryce and I went. They served on our marriage retreat team. They're an amazing couple. They had a daughter, Sabrina, when I met them. And I didn't realize their story. As Sabrina got older and older and older, like 8, 9, 10, 11, they still can't get pregnant again. And it's the weirdest thing, right? And so I have a chapter in there that fills you in on that. But I want to get to the chapter I'm talking about is they felt like, because our pastor had been talking about adoption and true religion, that they should maybe adopt. Excuse me. But they really wanted another biological child that, you know, they had a girl, they wanted a boy that looked like Bruce. So they kept trying, and then finally they said, maybe we should just fill out the adoption papers, and then maybe God will let us get pregnant. Like they're making a deal with God. And so they fill out all the paperwork. They decide on an international adoption just to be crazy. And she goes, I remember Jamie said, I picked Ethiopia. I don't even know where it is on the map. I just picked it because I remember hearing that kids are starving to death in Ethiopia. Mm-hmm. So they turn in all the paperwork. She goes, I didn't pray about this. I didn't do anything. She goes, I just was like, okay. Like, I know we're supposed to have another child, but I really want to have another baby in my tummy. So a couple months after the paperwork comes in, she gets a phone call from the adoption agency. And she's like, Jamie, this is the adoption agency, and we have a 24-day-old, our youngest referral, little baby boy that was left to be found. His name is Teg. I'm going to send you his picture right now. Please, can you and Bruce let me know if you want to adopt this baby? And she's like, okay, well, just so happens, because God is God, that Sabrina, their daughter, who's now 12, is homesick from school. So they call Dad. Bruce is like, I'm on my way home. As they get home, they click on this little picture. The three of them are just huddled around the computer screen. The picture of this little boy pops up, and they feel nothing. Just this sickly little baby boy. And they're like, come on, God. Like, we thought you were going to, you know, have a sign or feel something. And then all of a sudden, Jamie goes, Bruce, zoom in on that baby blanket. He's like, why? She goes, zoom in on it. And as he moves the mouse and clicks on the blanket around the baby, it blows up on their screen. And all three of them gasp. Because there, on the other side of the world, over 13,000 miles away in Addis Ababa, is a 24-day-old baby boy wrapped in a purple and gold Los Angeles Lakers blanket. With a message just for them that said, this is your son and this is my plan for your life. Mm-hmm. And it's like this unseen hand of God is moving right now in your life, in my life. God is setting things in motion for our children, for their spouses, for their future, for that we don't even know. We haven't even met these people yet. We don't even know they exist. And so as a former filmmaker, my mind goes to 21 years earlier. How our God, our good God, unseen hand, had this little blanket arrive at the dry good concession stand at the LA Forum, the home of Los Angeles Lakers. And some young dad 21 years ago picked up that blanket and he took it home to wrap his newborn baby boy in it. And over the years, the dog Duke bit a hole in it and mom would sew it up until she finally donated it to the Goodwill. And this unseen hand of God takes this blanket and places it on a rusty shipping container in the port of Corpus Christi, Texas. And that blanket makes its way down the Atlantic, around the Horn of Africa, through the Indian Ocean, and ports in Somalia. And somewhere that unseen hand takes that purple and gold blanket and places it on this bus headed to a refugee camp that would then later be handed to a young mom who was in a desperate and dire situation. She was surrounded by daily death. She could barely feed herself, let alone her 24-day-old baby boy. So she wraps her little boy in this purple and gold blanket with stenciled letters that said Los Angeles Lakers that she couldn't even read, and leaves this baby outside of the police station. Because those letters weren't meant for her to read. And they weren't meant for the rescuing officer to read, or the orphanage worker that would check the baby in and take his picture, or the nurse that would check the baby's heartbeat. No, those purple and gold stenciled letters were meant for this young family who God knew at this very moment would be huddled around their computer screen, unsure and undecided on if they should even adopt this baby boy, with a clear message just for them. This is your son, and this is my plan. Will you follow it? See, if that doesn't leave us in awe and wonder of who God is, I don't know what would do it.
Yeah, I believe it. I believe it. I mean, the history of the reason that this whole podcast is called Feathers is because God did almost the exact same thing with us as we adopted. And God placed literal feathers in front of me on a walk one morning just to confirm that our son was our son. So I believe it. And it's amazing as we step out in faith how God will, you know, some people call these little God winks or whatever, just to show that we really are on the right path. And he's going to be with us when we step out.
That's right.
Well, thank you so much for sharing today. I hope everybody picks up this book. I mean, you guys that are listening, if you're listening to this podcast, you're going to love this book. So how can people find it?
Well, you can go to ridiculousfaithbook.com, or it's absolutely anywhere books are sold. If you go to ridiculousfaithbook.com, I think there's like a few free chapters. You can see some real videos, like the Watson story that I just told you. There's about 4 videos that are shot from chapters right from the book to get an idea. And, or you can go anywhere books are sold, Amazon, Barnes and Noble, Goodreads, whatever, wherever you buy books. There's also an audio version if you don't like to read. I drive a lot in LA, so I love books on tape. So there's an audio version that I did. And of course, you can just get a normal copy too.
All right. Well, thanks so much for spending time with me today.
Thank you so much, Amy. Take care.
All right.
Bye.
Well, I hope you guys enjoyed that episode. Was that last story not so awesome with the blanket? I love, love, love when God does cool stuff like that. And some people are so quick to call that a coincidence, but I do not believe that for a split second that it was just coincidence. I just think how much was orchestrated for that to work. It's just mind-boggling, and it just shows how much God cares for us and how much he cared for that little baby to make sure his adoptive parents knew that was their baby. So, so awesome. Another thing I want to remember is just how much we need those moments with God, just spending time with him, reading his word and praying. And guys, I know we all say it's the right thing that we really need to do it, but how often have we spent even more than just 10 minutes just being with God? It's such a hard discipline to really carve out those mountain moments when we just shut off everything. But if we're really going to live these lives of ridiculous faith, that time is just an absolute must. And so as we close down season 3, I think that's a really great note to end on. It really does come down to a relationship with God through Christ. And as we journey to becoming more and more like Christ and love the people around us, he is always showing us our next step. And that's what we're here for, just to remember that God is calling us out and we can absolutely trust him to be faithful, and we can step out in faith. So guys, don't forget you can check out show notes over at featherspodcast.com. I'd love to remind you also to check out the shop to help support the podcast. Don't forget to share the post and leave a review on iTunes if you haven't done that yet either. It's also very, very appreciated. I just love the message of all these stories from these women, and hope we can get out to as many other women as we can. So guys, this is it for season 3, and we will see you next season on Feathers.